traditions.
Thank you.
Where's the proclamation?
It's this.
Do we have a copy of it? Do we have a copy of the actual proclamation? You know, bound and signed and all that stuff? We can get going. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I heard. Okay. Okay. Did Kim brief you?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Doc.
Absolutely. Good morning, everybody. Before we gavel the agenda and all of its dozens and dozens of action items, we're going to make a very special presentation to recognize Black History Month by the City Council of the City of Portland, Oregon. And the proclamation reads as follows. Whereas Portland's honor, strength, and stature can be attributed to the diversity of cultures and traditions that are celebrated by the residents of this great region. And whereas African Americans have played significant roles in the history of Portland and Oregon's economic, cultural, spiritual, and political development while working tirelessly to maintain and promote their culture and history. And whereas, as a result of their determination, hard work, intelligence, and perseverance, African Americans have made valuable and lasting contributions to help achieve exceptional success in all aspects of our society, including business, education, politics, science, and the arts. And whereas in 1976, Black History Month was formally adopted nationally to honor and affirm the importance of Black history throughout the American experience going back more than 100 years. And whereas Black History Month is a time for all Americans to remember the stories and teaching of those who helped build our nation, took a stance against prejudice to build lives of dignity and opportunity, advanced the cause of civil rights, and strengthened families and communities. And whereas during Black History Month, all Americans are encouraged to reflect upon past successes and challenges of African Americans, to look to the future to improve society that we can live up to the ideals of freedom, equality, and justice. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim February 2010 to be Black History Month in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this month. Would anyone like to come forward to say a few words? Mr. Adair? Welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you. Mayor Adams, members of the council, I'm Donnie Adair. I'm in human resources for the city and one of the co-chairs of the Black History Month Committee. And on behalf of the committee, I would like to thank you for the proclamation. I want to acknowledge some of the members of the committee that are here right now, if they would stand.
Thank you.
Tim Hall and Barbara Reiser from Water. Tim is also the co-chair of the city's African American Network. Janice McMillan Friday from Human Resources and Karen Hansen from the Bureau of Environmental Services. And there were, and also Polly Burge is here from the mayor's office, who is a part of our committee as well. And there are others who are not here today who could not be here. But we want to thank you and just invite you and other city employees and the community to come to the many activities that we have this month, including a film festival and speakers. A little concert to kick things off today with Daryl Grant at noon. And we're going to have a community event, which is very important, on the 19th from 5 to 7:30, where we're going to honor survivors of Vanport. Mm-hmm. And so we look forward to having everybody join us. And learning more about the contributions of African Americans. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. Let me give you a little... Today is Wednesday, February 3rd, 2010. It's 9:30. The Portland City Council will come to order. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning.
Can you please call the roll?
Yes. Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard? Adams?
Here. I want to move to that we confirm February 17th evening meeting for the City Council at 6 p.m., time certain, to discuss the North Reach River plan.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those, Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion approved. We have five communication items. Can you please read the first communications? Item number 150.
Request of Ulysses Hardiman to address council regarding the lack of respect for the city charter and Oregon and U.S. constitutions.
Good morning, Mr. Hardiman. Welcome back.
What are you, Your Honor? Good morning, Mr. Fish. Mr.
Good morning.
Y'all get a little tired of looking at me. Your Honor, I've just got to congratulate you. I mean, you got this weird opposition out there, but I mean, you keep on trekking. It's good to see your ability, your forbearance. I didn't realize by the simple expedient of asking this August Assembly for my car back. I didn't realize, maybe I'm naive, I didn't know that made me an adversary of the city. I had no clue of that at all. I'm learning that apparently the city attorney, I'm an adversary. I didn't do a thing that was incorrect. My motions have been studied. I've tried very hard to be correct, you know. I was told my car would be okay. I was told I read the city charter. I read the Oregon Constitution. I read the U.S. Constitution. I just wanted my car back. By now, I should have been making between $1,200, maybe as much as $2,000 a month. That car was crucial. I needed it to deliver my papers, to deliver my pizza. Besides, my skill saw's in there. My Lee Oscar harmonica's in that car. I'm going to have to postpone, with all due respect, and come back and see y'all again later. But I hope you'll be able to help me on this matter. I mean, let's put some teeth in this black history. I'm an Afro-American here, you know. And I'd like to be able to live in Portland if you're going to let me live in the city.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Hardiman. Appreciate your testimony. As you know, I've spent a lot of time, and my staff have spent a lot of time on your issue.
Are you going to be able to get it done?
Your car is gone, as I've told you.
You didn't tell me that, Your Honor.
Yes. Last time you were here, the car has, as I said, has been sold. Thank you for your testimony. I wish things would have worked out differently. Carla, can you please read the title for Council Communications, item number 151?
Request of Rodney Williams to address Council regarding a solution to traffic safety.
Mr. Williams, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the City Council.
Good morning, and thank you.
All you need to do is give us your first and last name, and the clock in front of you will help you count down your 3 minutes.
Okay, my name is Rodney Williams, and I definitely chopped down my presentation to try to make 3 minutes, so I'll get right with it. Just like important election amendments to upgrade old laws, important decisions have to be made, serious issues to be addressed as this new year continues on. Like the urgency to improve the accident problem and fear between cyclists and motor vehicleists. According to Teresa Hain, ODOT crash analyst, traffic volumes have increased since 93, but overall, a decline in crashes in spite of the increasing population and traffic. but that can be accredited to the conception and the creation of the master plan in 96 and the revision in 98, which the city council can take a good part of that credit. Thank you for that. But many people still cite danger caused by traffic as their main objection to riding a bicycle on roadways. It should also be pointed out that most bicycle injuries do not result from collision with motor vehicles. Based on emergency room reports, 15 to 35% of all bicycle crashes involve motor vehicles and bicyclists, and 65 to 85 involve falls and collisions with stationary objects, other cyclists, and pedestrians. But the confusion between cyclists and motor vehicles is still a serious problem. I've had a passion for solving this problem since 96, which brings me here before you all today. I'm here to start the process to fulfill my purpose, which is to complete my assignment no one else has completed. Yet, my intention is to share my gift and serve others in the process, to begin saving lives, to create a more harmonic flow and understanding between motor vehicles and all forms of transportation, a sense of safety consciousness that has been needed since the inception of the Bicycle Master Plan and will be a standard set for years to come to create a market which will boost man hours in a few Oregon businesses. To have the satisfaction knowing that my gift improved many people's safety and saved lives means I will have completed my mission, along with catering to the many types of cyclist groups who are interested and concerned about safety on the road. So I'm here to network, to make contacts, to get a recommendation to yet another meeting in which I can further bring my vision of this renovation to pass, to begin saving lives, which affects us, our children, and our future generations, and to keep Oregon in the forefront in the nation for having a successful biking city. Thank you.
Very well said, and I really appreciate, and I'm sure I speak for the whole council, your enthusiasm, your interest, and your insight. And if you wouldn't mind, Amy Stevens is in the purple dress right there. If you wouldn't mind giving you her contact information, okay. And we will follow up. Thank you very
much. All right,
much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. That gets us to communications item number 152. Can you read the title?
Request of Richard Elmire to address council regarding North Portland Taxpayer Right to Housing Authority of Portland statistical data.
Good morning. Welcome back, Mr. Elmire.
Good morning. My name is Richard Elmire. I am a candidate for the North Portland House seat in the May Democratic primary. On December 28th, I sent you a request for public housing statistical data, which I mentioned was intended to be used as a basis for discussion with voters during my campaign for public office. Despite my admonition that time was of the essence, for 37 days of my campaign, you have not provided me or the voters of my district with any one of the four reports I requested. Here are some facts for the record. All of you accept Mayor Adams's indefensible, foolish, and slightly nutty assertion that there is no public housing in the city of Portland, only affordable housing. All of you oppose requiring public documents to use the term public housing when the subject matter of the document refers to programs and policies where the following conditions are met. Public housing equals means test plus government subsidy plus rental agreement. All of you support Mayor Adams' policy of unlimited neighborhood concentration of public housing. None of you have requested, nor do you have an interest in, statistical data that would inform you about the total number and the neighborhood location of every public housing client in Multnomah County. All of you oppose a cap of 15% on the number of public housing clients per neighborhood. All of you oppose a $30,000 maximum income for a one-person household that should be set to enter and remain in any public housing program in Oregon, and that priority for HAP housing should be given to people without homes or who have incomes under $30,000. all of you oppose a regional policy of equitable distribution of public housing under the administrative control of Metro. All of you are aware that HAP staff cannot produce authentic, accurate, complete, and timely public housing statistical data records for every one of their 33,000 clients. All of you oppose giving the taxpayers that provide $80 million or so of HAP's budget authentic, accurate, complete, and timely public housing statistical data. None of you are prepared to try and correct the imbalance between 77% qualified students for the free lunch program at the Roosevelt School Cluster and 9% at the Lincoln School Cluster, which is primarily caused by deliberately overloading North Portland with public housing clients. If any of these statements of fact are incorrect for individual commissioners, then please let me know in writing via email before February 8th. I support a public policy of equitable distribution of public housing, a cap of 15% on the number of public housing clients per neighborhood, a $30,000 maximum income for one-person household to enter and remain in any public housing program in Oregon, and the right of taxpayers to authentic, accurate, complete, and timely public housing statistical data. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Elmeyer. I appreciate your testimony. Just for those of you that might be new to the process, this is 3 minutes for the public to say whatever they want. It is not a interactive. It's a form of as if we had it. We were a town hall. It's 3 minutes of town hall. Carla, that gets us to item number 153, communications.
Request of Bruce M. Wolf, M.D., to address council regarding bicycling in Portland and the Portland Bicycle Plan.
Welcome, Dr. Wolf.
Good morning.
Glad you're here. Please begin.
My name is Bruce Wolf. I am professor of surgery at OHSU, specializing in the treatment of obesity. I lead an NIH National Obesity Research Project, which includes detailed study of physical activity and obesity. The research is ongoing and shows that activity as a part of daily living has more impact for most people than does an occasional workout at a gym. Commuting by walking or bicycle is an excellent way to increase activity and improve health, but must be safe. Red Hoffman of our OHSU trauma team led a year-long research study of 962 bicycle commuters in Portland and recently reported the results at a national trauma meeting where she won an award for injury prevention. Unfortunately, the study shows that bicycle commuting in Portland is not safe. Specifically, in 1 year, 5% of bicycle commuters reported an event that required formal medical evaluation. A significant number of these commuters were not wearing a helmet, suggesting that there continues to be a need for bicycle safety education. Further, 20% of all injuries involve poor roadway conditions, such as gravel in the bike lanes, suggesting the importance of maintenance of existing infrastructure, as well as the importance of considering cyclists when planning upgrades to the city's transportation system. We must improve bicycle safety in Portland if we are to realize the many benefits to all of our citizens that follow increased bicycle commuting. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Could you email me a link to the study?
Yes, the study has been submitted for publication in a prestigious surgical journal, and we probably can't release it in detail until they at least accept the paper for publication.
I really appreciate that.
This is just evolving, but we believe it's an important contribution because it is a unique approach to getting the data we need.
Yeah, I'm very interested, and I'll give you my card, and as it becomes available, would be very interested in studying it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Doctor. Appreciate it. Can you, Carla, please read the title for Council Communications 154?
Request of Pavel Goberman to address Council regarding request for debate forum of candidates running for U.S. Senator position.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you for giving me opportunity to talk. My name is Pavel Goberman. I speak up before you as official candidate for U.S. Senate in primary May 18, 2010 against Biden, maybe somebody more. Okay. request for debate or forum of candidate running for U.S. Senate position. It's not separation of power. It's not check and balances when United States judges, the attorney not elected but appointed by president in U.S. Senate. It is ignorance, violation, and rape of our Constitution. And when honest attorney started to investigate corruption of some politician, he or she get fired by president. This judicial political election system are so rotten because of corruption election process. The money but not brain is dominated factor in election board in corrupted politicians as President Obama, Senator Wyden, and Merkley elected, and they are destroying our national economy and creating a danger to our national security. Unelected president of the United States Senator depends our national security and lives many millions of people, depends on our national economy and health care. Most people do not read water pamphlet and vote for who they see on TV. Most politicians are buying the media for big money, and media junta talks about them only. Many do not trust government and do not vote. Money in election is bribery, and on base of United Constitution, Article 2, Section 4, for bribery must be impeachment. American proverb, the receiver is bad as a thief. Do not put rubber to work in bank. Money in election pollute our democracy. As not-profit organization, City of Portland exists on taxes and some federal funding. It does not pay taxes, and it is obligation of city to pay back to society for purpose of public interest, for purpose of to inform, educate the resident about candidate running for U.S. Senate position primary May 18, 2010 election. City must organize debate or forum of candidate running for U.S. Senate in about April this year. If it will not be done, I will demand from Oregon Attorney General to suspend nonprofit status from City of Portland. I hope it will not be done. I hope you will do something for benefits of this state and nation. Thank you. Do you have any question?
Thank you, sir, very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we have two time certains at 9:30 and 10:15, but before we get to that, we'll take the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull anything from the consent agenda? Does anyone wish to testify on the consent agenda? Carla, will you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Can you please read the title for council time certain, non-emergency ordinance, item number 155.
Strengthen invasive plant management by adopting the invasive plant policy review and regulatory improvement project report.
Well, I'm pleased to bring this forward. It's an issue that I began working on 5 years ago, after my assignment as the commissioner in charge of Bureau of Environmental Services. Invasive plants have long been a serious problem here in Portland. Just travel down Highway 26 to Willoughby Boulevard, any area of the city that is near open space. And you will find that invasive species of plants are impacting tree health, longevity, and displacing native plants. But they are a problem that we can do something about. For every dollar we spend on managing invasive species, we can save $17 to $34 in avoided expenses of having to remove them later. When it comes to invasive plants, early intervention is a smart investment. The City of Portland has been tackling the issue of invasive plants since 1991, when we first established the Portland Plant List and called out native, nuisance, and prohibited plants. In November 2008, the Bureau of Environmental Services developed a citywide invasive plant species management that calls for protecting parks habitat, preventing the establishment of new invasive plants, incorporating new invasive plant regulations into existing city codes. So today will be a first hearing, and we will hear about the Emerging Invasive Plant Policy Review and Regulatory Improvement Project. It's a joint effort of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, the Bureau of Environmental Services, the Bureau of Transportation, and it is the Bureau of Environmental Services which takes Portland's invasive plant management strategy a step further and implements and will be implementing many of its recommendations. So thank you for your work. I know you've all been working long and hard at this. So who, Tricia?
I'll begin.
Start.
Paul.
Thanks. Good morning, Mayor Adams and council members. My name is Paul Ketchum. I'm with the Bureau of Environmental Services Watershed Services Group. I'm here today with two of my colleagues from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Tricia Sears and Roberta Jortner. Thank Mayor Adams for giving such an excellent overview of the project, and we do thank Mayor Adams and the council for your support for this invasives program through the past several years. We begin the slideshow. I just wanted to give a couple of remarks about context to the project to highlight and elucidate some of the comments that Mayor Adams made in his opening remarks. This project does go back to November of 2005 when the city held a town hall on invasives and led to the adoption of the first resolution, 36360, and that charged the Bureau of Environmental Services with developing a 3-year work plan and 10-year goals for control of invasive plants within the city of Portland. And we worked diligently to develop that strategy. We coordinated with bureaus and with outside groups to an extensive extent. We developed a strategy, as Mayor Adams mentioned, in November 2008, a final draft of that, and we aired it before an invasive species summit, which was held at the Oregon Zoo. We had over 200 people attending that conference, and it generated a great deal of enthusiasm and collaboration for the city's invasive plant strategy program. Following that summit and the early implementation of the strategy, the council adopted another resolution in August of last year, resolution 36726, and that essentially formally adopted the city's invasive plant strategy and set us on the course for implementation. So without further ado, I'd just like to mention that the Bureau of Environmental Services has given funding to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to carry out the invasive plant policy review and improvement project. They've done excellent work. And last November, the Planning Commission reviewed the recommendations from staff on the policy review and improvement project and voted unanimously to forward this to you today. And so I'd like to turn this now over to Tricia Sears to describe the details of the program.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and commissioners. I'm Tricia Sears with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Now that you've heard the project context, we're going to move on and into today's presentation, which includes 5 main points: the overview of invasive plants, the description of the project, the opportunity for staff council dialogue, public testimony, and city council action. So what is an invasive plant? Well, invasive plants are typically introduced non-native plants that spread rapidly, overtaking and crowding out native plants. They're identified with many different terms. Now, the city typically refers to invasive plants as nuisance plants, and that's the term we use when we regulate them. Today's presentation will use the terms invasive and nuisance interchangeably. So why do we care? Well, invasive plants have a lot of impacts. For example, some plants are toxic to humans and animals. Many of the plants degrade watershed health. They also damage trees and cause erosion, and they increase the risk of wildfire. They also impact economics. And actually, Mayor Adams already borrowed the statistic I was going to mention. So, but it's a pretty impressive one. It comes from the Oregon Department of Agriculture. And as you mentioned, early detection is the most effective approach because for every $1 we spend now, we save the expenditure of $17 to $34 later. So there are four project components. The first is to update the Portland plant list. The second is to improve our codes and policies by working through some non-development and development changes. We're also looking to ensure that invasive plants are addressed in the comprehensive plan, which is an ongoing effort right now with the Portland plan. We're also researching the feasibility of a noxious weed board in the Portland metropolitan area. So today's presentation actually only focuses on items 1 and 2. In terms of updating the Portland plant list, we begin by noting that the current Portland plant list was established in 1991, again, as Mayor Adams mentioned. It includes a list of native plants, nuisance plants, and prohibited plants. There's very little information in the current version that describe nuisance and prohibited plants. We do know that the Portland plant list is used as an informational resource by staff and citizens and as a tool to help implement the environmental zoning program. Other jurisdictions use the Portland plant list too. So as part of this project, we have revised the Portland plant list to add very specific information about invasive plants. We've consolidated the plants into one list called the nuisance plants list to make it more clear and easier to use. In addition, based on new scientific information, we've added 43 plants and removed 23 plants. To do this, we involved a technical committee of city staff plus external reviewers. Furthermore, we've assigned ranks to each plant to help people prioritize decisions related to managing invasive plants. The proposed ranks build and expand upon a rank system used by the Oregon Department of Agriculture and the 4-county Cooperative Weed Management Area. We refine these rank systems, to make them more specific to the Portland metropolitan area. Ranks relate to the distribution and quantity of the plant species. So, for example, rank A is the least widespread, while ranks C and D are the most widespread. And rank W is basically watching to see what happens with this plant. Currently, the Portland plant list is an ordinance, so when changes are needed, we come to City Council and have you review those changes. The Portland plant list provides a lot of technical guidance, kind of like the Erosion Control Manual and the Stormwater Management Manual. And those documents are administrative rules. So in keeping with those other documents, the Portland plant list is proposed to be reestablished to an administrative rule. This is a more nimble format for making changes as new scientific information becomes available. We will retain the steps of collaborating with experts and having a public comment process with involvement by stakeholder groups. We have included a description of this amendment process in the Portland plant list itself. Now, the existing zoning code provisions clearly state that you're not allowed to install plants on the nuisance plant list, but they're kind of unclear when removal of nuisance plants is required in development situations. To alleviate that lack of clarity, we have proposed several changes to the zoning code. The first one is to clarify that in new city-required landscape areas, property owners will be required to remove nuisance ground covers and shrubs on the nuisance plant list. This will be applicable in all base zones across the city. The second change is to clarify that in new city-required mitigation areas, property owners will be required to remove nuisance ground covers, shrubs, and trees. This is applicable in the environmental, greenway, and Pleasant Valley overlay zones. Now, this is a limited number of applications and focuses a strong program of removal of invasive plants on the most sensitive habitat areas. In situations where it is unwise to remove trees, the city may waive the requirement and suggest alternative mitigation. And finally, we propose a new standard that requires removal of nuisance plants when there's development that encroaches in an environmental resource area on the site. Replanting is required to occur in the area where the nuisance plants are removed. It's kind of like our existing tree removal and replacement requirements, where when you take out a tree, we ask you to replace it. We have established this at the scale and scope that would be proportional to the development that's proposed. This provision is applicable only in the environmental and Pleasant Valley overlay zones, and we think it will provide incremental improvements to habitat in sensitive areas. Okay, so this is kind of the big news here. For the first time, we are proposing to require eradication of certain nuisance plants to prevent invasive plants that are not here from getting a foothold like English ivy. The 15 certain plants are on the required eradication list, and these plants are a subset of the nuisance plant list. The 15 plants are also listed on the State of Oregon's noxious weed list. Some of these plants pose health risks, like the giant hogweed shown on this slide. With these amendments to Title 29, we will now have a code that requires you to eradicate these 15 plants when they're found on your property. The provision applies across the city, regardless of whether there is a development action. When invasive plants first arrive to the area, it's the best time to control them. The distribution of them is quite small, so the efforts to remove the plants will typically be targeted to this small area. The city offers free assistance to the property owner to remove the plants on the required eradication list. If the property owner doesn't comply, the city will begin enforcement actions. We will use existing enforcement steps in Title 29. Now, based on our research with several jurisdictions, including King County, Washington, and Clark County, Washington, we don't anticipate many cases going into enforcement. We have found that when you have staff available to provide assistance, people tend to accept it and generally voluntarily comply with the requirements.
So how are we going to educate people? Maybe you're going to come into that, but how are we going to let people know what the 15 plants are and how to recognize them?
They're going to be published in the Portland plant list updates. We'll also have them available on the web pages. And we've been doing a lot of outreach and education for invasive plants. There's a lot of weed identification trainings that are offered by the Soil and Water Conservation Districts, and BES has been collaborating with those quite heavily.
Well, one other addition to what Tricia pointed out is that we do have staff within the Bureau of Environmental Services to carry out the city's early detection rapid response program. Mitch Bixby is the botanic specialist who's hired to help outreach to citizens and help them with the plant identification and removal processes.
We're bootstrapping. We're taking every opportunity we can. So we've talked, for example, in the Curbsider, which is a Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, we'll have a regular feature on invasive plants. Any ideas that people have to get the word out, we'd take them.
Since this is going to apply on everybody's property, regardless of whether we do development, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and Office of Human Relations could be helpful in educating.
That
we could do
great
some
idea.
Focus meetings and such.
And we do have materials that we've developed over the past couple of years. We have an invasive plant poster, which is a new. We had a native plant poster that's very popular, and we devised an invasive plant poster so people can actually see what the species are of concern in the city of Portland. And we've also worked very hard with stakeholder groups, Nature Conservancy, et cetera, to develop the Garden Smart publication, which presents the common kinds of invasive plants that people want to plant and then alternatives to those species so that people can actually see that if they like ivy, for example, there are alternatives to ivy that are less noxious and are native species as well as alternatives.
And Environmental Services is still doing your program of teaching school children, right?
Exactly.
We educate the fifth graders, they'll take care of the
problem. That's awesome.
you've got that.
We have worked a lot with the neighborhood coalitions, too. They seem pretty eager to take this aboard as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, so this slide illustrates our previous point pretty well. The curve shows that when a plant just arriving into an area, the area invaded is small. So when found, the plant can be removed relatively easily in terms of time and money. These plants are the targeted rank A plants on the required eradication list. As the area invaded expands over time, the plant becomes more widespread and better established. We can see that rank B plants are more widely distributed. The city's early detection rapid response team focuses much of their work on the removal of rank A and B plants. By the time the plant gets to the top of the curb, most people readily recognize the plant and are aware of it. For example, English ivy is widely recognized by people as an invasive plant. It's pretty much everywhere in Portland. However, by this time, the plants are so widely distributed that we grapple with the best way to remove it. It's very difficult, again in terms of time and money, to remove the plants, and in fact, at this point, we're really only trying to control them because we can't eradicate them. So with the amendments proposed, the focus of our efforts is on the early identification and removal of the plants.
So just to clarify, ivy is not one of the Class A required removal.
Correct. It's so well established that it's a Class C, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So just make sure that I'm understanding. Class C, again, is the category that is we are in the process of losing the war against the plants in Class C?
Yeah, basically. So when you look at rank A plants, they're just little patches. They're not very well distributed. So they're hard to recognize because we're not very familiar with them. But when we get on them, we can get rid of them. As the curve goes higher, as you said, moving up towards English ivy, then, yeah, we're kind of losing the battle at that point, and we're really just trying to control it. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. The changes to the zoning code and the property maintenance regulations will be implemented by Multnomah County for the unincorporated urban pocket areas. For the property maintenance regulations, the city will provide the same services in these areas, that is, the free assistance to eradicate plants, as within the city limits. The existing IGA for the zoning code changes and implementation can remain as is. A new IGA is written and before you today for the implementation of the city's property maintenance regulations, as these provisions relate to the plants on the required eradication list. We have been meeting with Multnomah County to coordinate on these matters, and they're quite supportive of the project. All right, now for the question on everybody's mind, right? The fiscal impacts of the project. The Portland plant list amendments are covered by this year's budget. Conversion of the Portland plant list to an administrative rule will lower the costs of future updates. For the property maintenance regulations, the proposed changes should result in minor increases to workload for the BES Early Detection Rapid Response Team. Should a situation arise where the abatement process is triggered, the costs are proposed to be covered by the BES Grade of Green budget. For the zoning code, most of the changes are clarifications, and they do not have a fiscal impact. Only the proposed new invasive removal standard for the environmental zones will affect staff workload. The standard would slightly increase the time for inspection and monitoring of the removal and replanting areas. Although BES included a part-time position for BDS in the Greater Green 5-year budget, BDS has expressed concern about increasing demand for inspections given the current staffing situation. Therefore, the proposal is to defer the effective date of the new standard until July 1st, 2011, to provide time to address staffing issues. The proposed effective date for the rest of the proposal is July 1st, 2010. In summary, the project builds upon community efforts and investments such as those made by neighborhood groups and others, and it supports city efforts and investments too. These actions presented here are intended to be proactive and collaborative. The efforts prevent invasive plants from arriving, and if they don't arrive, they don't spread. It's intended to protect public health and safety and neighborhood quality. Therefore, we ask that you approve the amendments to the Portland plant list, the zoning code, the property maintenance regulations, and including the IGA with Multnomah County. We also ask that you endorse the next steps of the project, which are the adoption by BES and BDS of administrative rules related to Title 29, updates to the comprehensive plan, updates to technical manuals, and exploration of ways to sustain the Greater Green programs. Thank you. Any questions?
So the will this ban the sale of the Class C plants?
No, none of this is banning the sale. Only the State of Oregon Department of Agriculture can ban the sale of plants. or as the statute is written.
So we are preempted from, city council is preempted from regulating.
Correct.
And what is their latest thinking on banning these Class C plants that are continue to be sold locally, because I run into Scotch Broom and St. John's Wort and others?
The Oregon Department of Ag is, has a process where basically they go through, and after quite a long time, some of the plants are prohibited from being sold. English ivy, for example, in 2009 was slated to not be allowed to be sold. But there are a number of exceptions to the provision, and so you do still find it being sold. They're also, because Oregon is quite an agricultural-related state in terms of selling plants, and it's a statewide issue, we found the Department of Ag to be somewhat reticent to ban the sales of plants because it's an industry that's part of Oregon's economy. So we've been working with them in different ways, as well as with the Oregon Association of Nurseries, to try to say, you know, we're not trying to stop your business, but just find alternative ways, alternative plants to focus in the Portland metropolitan area, and perhaps have some of those other plants going into other areas where they're more appropriate.
Does anyone else have any thoughts on being more aggressive, knowing that we're preempted, but being more aggressive on the Class C plants?
Just one other avenue that we've been coordinating too is the state invasive. I'm Roberta Jartner.
Thank you.
With Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and it's the Invasive Species Council. There's a statewide council that works with Oregon Ag and the legislative process to try to see where the hot spots are and identify avenues to move forward. In fact, the city's working with them on beginning to study actions that might be taken to prevent the spread of invasive animals that I expect we'll be hearing about in the future. So coordinating with them on issues of statewide concern that either are barriers to what cities can do, or forwarding municipal urban types of agendas around invasive plants would be an action that we could pursue.
Yeah. So I don't know about the rest of council, but I'd be interested in us being more aggressive, since it is the state that regulates these things, being more aggressive with sending this to them and requesting that they begin regulating, at least in Portland. Other cities can choose. You know, right. We don't. Some of these plants that continue to be sold at nurseries in Portland.
Mayor, I would welcome a referral to our CRAC legislative team. And also, in terms of the question you asked earlier about how we're getting the message out, we have 108 now friends groups with parks. Mm. So if there was some kind of communication that you could design that we could then cut and paste and send out, something like a one-pager with some hyperlinks, sure. We'll get that out to our 108 friends groups and try to, you know, you get it out there virally. Because I think your challenge is going to be getting this information into the right hands. So yeah. Whatever we can do to help.
Yeah, if you prepare that, I would send it out through the Office of Neighborhood Involvement notification list. Okay. And I agree, Mayor, I'd very much support at least removing the local preemption if we could do it. Or if the rest of the state doesn't want to prohibit the sale, it would be nice if we could. We did look into this with the Tryon Creek Watershed Council 10 years or more ago. And that process is where we got to with the 2009 kind of prohibition, but it's...
How long have we known English ivy is a problem as an invasive plant?
I'm pretty sure it was on the original 1991 list.
Definitely preceding 1991,
yeah.
But it was formalized in 1991 as a nuisance plant by the city.
2009, we kind of have this soft prohibition. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I would agree.
So you've sounds like the intent, legislative intent of council is to be able to regulate the Class C plants in the city of Portland. However, you advise us to proceed.
Okay.
Mayor, the English ivy has been a problem since the Reverend Leonard brought it with him in 1750 to this country and started marketing it, and I don't want to call that out, but it has
to be said.
It goes back
it
quite
has
a bit.
To be said.
Is it the request of Reverend Fish?
Oh. See, both of their ancestors came here in the, 1600s? 1400s?
1635.
I think he's got us all beat.
All right.
Anything else? I just wanted the council to know, with inadequate funding and staffing that has never been anywhere close to full time, this team, many people that you see in the room today, have eked out a cutting edge, really world class strategy and a plan. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate it. It's taken us so long because you've had to do other things along the way, and this was just a little piece of your work. But it's really important. I want to thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Has anyone signed up to testify?
Yes, we have six people who signed up.
Okay.
And first three, please come on up, are Adam Barber, Kathleen Brenner Hunter, and Greg Shifsky.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the City Council. We only will need your first and last name, and that clock in front of you will help you count down to 3 minutes. Who would like to go first?
Great. Good morning, Mayor Adams, members of the City Council. My name is Kathleen Brennan Hunter, and I'm the director of Metro's Natural Areas Program. As you know, we acquire and steward natural areas throughout the region, and invasive plants pose a major threat to habitat integrity and ecosystem function. We really appreciate the City of Portland's leadership on this issue. So I'm here this morning just to support adoption of this report. And I've also brought with me written testimony from Jim Desmond, who's the director of Metro Sustainability Center. He couldn't be here this morning. But thank you for your focus on this issue. We really appreciate it.
So is it possible that Metro could pass something like this and ask all the other jurisdictions nearby to stop sending us seeds?
I can take that back and we can talk about it.
I think that would be really helpful.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah. Sir?
Good morning, Mayor Adams and council members. My name is Adam Barber. I'm a senior planner with Multnomah County's Land Use and Transportation Planning Program. So we perform the rural planning duties in Multnomah County to your immediate west and then to the east of the city of Gresham. We submitted a letter of support for this project back in November, but I wanted to be here today to reiterate that and to answer any questions that you might have. We are the governing authority for the urban pockets that you saw on a slide earlier in Tricia's presentation. These are areas that have not yet been annexed into the City of Portland, but the City of Portland provides land use planning services for these roughly 1,700 properties, but they're still technically in unincorporated Multnomah County. So these regulations do impact some of our constituents. In looking at these regulations, we see a common thread in our rural land use planning program. Our development codes and our strategies and policies are designed to really limit these invasives and try to replace them with natives. And so we see a common bond there. And we also recognize that these invasives don't recognize jurisdictional boundaries. And so any work and any successes that are won in the city will hopefully help us with our overarching goals as well, and that works both ways. And so we are in support of these regulations. I also bring support from the Board of County Commissioners Kafori, Shiprack, McKeel, and Kogan, who have all been briefed and are supportive of this as well. And I want to commend Tricia Sears. She's been very informative through this process and influential. She actually, after one of her first meetings, she had me on my own property pulling ivy on a Saturday. I won that battle on my property, and I feel good about that.
Nice.
So yeah, just wanted to communicate that.
Yeah, that's the first step is to admit when you have ivy.
So does Multnomah County help administer the codes in Fairview and Gresham and other such jurisdictions?
In Fairview, yes. In the city of Gresham, they have their own planning department and they have their own regulations there.
So similarly, for the areas where you do provide service, if you could encourage those councils to adopt something similar to this, that would be very
absolutely
helpful. Thank you.
And just to be fair, usually late in spring, I have, you know, for a while, the city's best noxious weed thistle garden growing.
Now you've got to remove it, Sam.
Until I can get to remove it. It's awful. Hello, sir.
Thank you.
Greg Shifsky, Mayor Adams, council members. You've all seen me here before, and since it's Black History Month, I'll just get this out of the way. The home that I occupy today was rented by, excuse me, Harry Jaeger and his wife. Harry was the last mayor of Vanport. How weird is that? I do support this effort to eradicate weeds and hope that you pass something that works towards that effect. Jennifer Goodridge came out to our neighborhood association. The city mailed letters about noxious weeds. She did a wonderful presentation to the neighborhood. That was a wonderful thing, including our neighborhood in the process. So, as you know, I'm kind of process-oriented and hope that goes somewhere. There are billions of dollars every year lost in agriculture all across the country. Solve, OPB are working together to shine the light on invasives. We know this. And now the city is doing the same. And I commend you guys for doing that and hope that you'll just support that in the future. Northwest Natural Gas punched in a pipeline, I think, from the Willamette River, Canby, all the way out to Vernonia. Somehow they got egress, legal egress access to private properties. It was a heck of a battle, and I'm sure they had a full army of attorneys to do that. But what you're proposing with your private property rights, people are quite possessive about their private properties, and you have a respectful way of knocking on their doors and saying, well, we're going to help you eradicate this. Maybe there's a legal way that you can actually go in and eradicate and stop the seed production that's taking place, especially with English ivy. And English ivy is wrecking a forest fast. And as a landscaper of many years in the past, it was 1975 when we started recognizing ivy as being a problem. And the only rap against it was that it was cutting down gas exchange through the bark. Does more than that. It's like us loading bags of concrete on our shoulders each and every year. Every year you're putting another 90-pound bag on your shoulders. Trees can't do that. They can't support that. And trees, I think, all too often get blamed for personal injury and damage, but what the news media never recognizes is their value, including shading out invasive species. So I'm putting in a little plug for the tree project. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for your testimony.
Thank you for your work with the Bridle Mile Creek Stewards and for teaching me how to pull ivy.
She came out on a real cold day in January.
I remember that.
Next three are Jane Hartline, Ryan Hoff, and Kathleen Murin.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council Chambers. We're glad you're here. Ms. Hartline?
I'm Jane Hartline. And I'm here on behalf of myself, but also on behalf of the West Multnomah Conservation District, which is your partner in this endeavor. I am a weed warrior. I wake up in the morning fretting about garlic mustard overtaking the forests. I gasp when I drive down the road and see new patches of Japanese knotweed. I spent my Sunday last weekend chainsawing through fist-wide ivy vines that are overtaking cottonwood trees on the north end of Sovie Island. So you can imagine how thrilled I am and how thrilled the district is that you are looking at this project and considering this new policy. I'm not only the only ward weed warrior in this city. There are thousands of us. And Councillor Fritz, know that there are lots of eyes out there watching for those plants. We can't help ourselves. We drive down the road and we go, oh, my gosh, there's, another patch of garlic mustard. We're looking for them. And when we see them, we do something about them. So, as you know, people are volunteering thousands and thousands of hours. Lots of money's been spent on invasive plants and crews are out in force every weekend killing ivy. And you know how fast they spread, and you know that sometimes we feel like we're losing the battle. If only we'd known a few decades ago what we know now, and if only we'd had this update to the zoning code. The city staff has done a beautiful job of updates to the Portland plant list. All of us in the restoration community are using that reference and really are happy that they've done that. And these proposed changes to the code will not only help us deal with the threatened species that are threatened.